Welcome, colleagues, back to the office. It's Steve. Welcome to episode 13 of the CPE Today podcast. This is Cloud-Based Office Suite Showdown, Google Workspace, Microsoft 365, and Zoho Part 2. In today's podcast, what we're going to be looking at are all the various interesting things around Microsoft 365. 365 is Microsoft's premier office platform. It is incredible with what this application can do. The breadth and depth of this tool is truly astounding. I mean, it does everything from managing your organization's documents and email to your licensing for Office as well. So it's a way to acquire Office, Word, Excel, PowerPoint, but then also these amazing set of cloud tools that you can use with it as well. And I just think it's just one of the best tools that you could possibly utilize. And it's a great place with respect to hosting your organization's information, data, email, and just about everything else as well. So in today's podcast, we are going to specifically be looking a lot at the cloud applications of this. You know, 365 is not solely just the way of getting Office, but there's these amazing cloud apps that I don't think really kind of get enough attention. I'm hoping to kind of give you a good understanding with respect to where and how these cloud apps can be used and some different manners that you might want to implement inside your organization. So we'll talk a little bit about Microsoft Exchange, which in my opinion is the gold standard for business class email. We'll talk about some collaboration tools such as SharePoint, OneDrive, and what I would say the darling of the COVID world, Microsoft Teams for organizational collaboration and communication. And we'll also touch upon some of their other cloud tools for organizations such as Planner and To-Do. And also give you some thoughts with respect to how and where you might choose to utilize and how you might migrate your organization from one application to the other. So if you're using Google Workspace or Zoho, or you've got an on-premise deployment, migrating to Office 365 is quite simple and something that anybody at any level of expertise can pick up and consider. Now, today's podcast is eligible for CPE credit. If you are a financial professional, and I hope you are, you can earn credits for listening to today's broadcast. It's super simple. Head on over to cpetoday.com. You're going to use course code GMZ2. Again, that is course code GMZ2. Take a quick 5-question quiz on what you listened to or what you watched today, and then you will earn a credit for today's podcast. How cool is that? You'll be well on your way to maintaining your professional licensing, and it's a great way of staying on top of those credits just so you don't waste time between renewal cycles. So let's just take a second and let's catch up from last time and just kind of give you and set the conversation and the frame for what we are going to be discussing today. Okay. So this series is looking at office productivity. We're looking at the different manners that we communicate, collaborate, produce documents, organize information inside of our companies. There are a number of different ways that you can consider doing that, and different approaches that you can consider. You know, for example, you could take the Google Workspace approach, which is what we talked about the last time. Or you could take the Microsoft 365 approach, which is what we're going to talk about today. We also have Zoho and others. But in a nutshell, what these are a platform of productivity and communication. Generally, these services are provided in what we call a software as a service environment where the responsibility of operating these things, for example, the security, the backup, the functionality, the licensing, the whether or not it works, well, that's the responsibility of the provider. You know, so if it's a 365 issue, guess what? It's not your IT company's problem. It's not your problem. It's Microsoft's problem. And you're essentially trading, you know, the responsibility for this up to the provider, and they're going to be responsible for all that stuff for you. And the great thing about it is it just works. You know, it either works or it doesn't work. There's really kind of not an in-between. Now, unlike Google Workspace and unlike Zoho, 365 is provided kind of in a hybrid approach compared to the other two. 365 has a number of on-premise applications, stuff that you've come to use and utilize every single day. You know, for example, Microsoft Excel, PowerPoint. When we talk about utilizing SaaS-based 365 tools, I'm not saying you need to give up your desktop version of Excel. Trust me, as a lifelong accountant and spreadsheet aficionado, I could never give up my desktop version of Excel. Nothing will ever come close to what that application can do. But that's okay. You get cloud versions of these that you can utilize when you're out of the office or when you're on the road, that will work 100% in browser, but you also get the traditional desktop applications of these as well. So you can still continue to utilize the same great experience for Excel, PowerPoint, and Word that you've come to love, but you get all these incredible cloud-based utilities on top of that desktop experience. And Microsoft has supercharged the desktop applications with this 365 behind it. It's really kind of cool. Things like real-time collaboration, sharing, all of that is directly built inside of that cloud suite now, or inside of that desktop suite. Now, these applications have a variety of tools, including word processing, spreadsheet, presentation, Zoho, Workspace, 365. They all have their own little different version of this, but this is what you can come to expect with the with this suite of products. And they also include a measure of communication, collaboration, such as instant messaging, shared calendars, and storage. In 365, we've got Teams, we've got SharePoint, we've got OneDrive. These are all things that we can use to collaborate and communicate with our companies. Okay. And they're all very configurable and scalable. One of the really cool things about working with any of these tools is that you're utilizing the same suite of services that the Fortune 500 is utilizing. So in what world can you get the same level of access and technology that you would get from, you know, that a Ford or a Coca-Cola or a Microsoft themselves would enjoy? Now, in today's podcast, we are solely focusing on 365. And let me just get something clear right away. Okay. Microsoft in 2020 did some branding, some licensing, some public facing changes. This used to be called, for almost all users, Office 365. They rebranded this to Microsoft 365, although they do have some plans, and the enterprise plans is what I'm speaking to, that are still referred to as Office 365. Okay. For the purposes of this presentation, just to make this consistent, I'm just going to refer to it as Microsoft 365 for the duration of our discussion today. But just realize when I talk about Microsoft 365, it's the same as Office 365. They just changed the name. Now, in my opinion, 365 is the largest and most powerful and the most configurable out of the three. And I mean, no disrespect and no lack of love to Google or Zoho in the context of what these what their solutions can do. It's just 365, in my opinion, it's the gold standard. It's also the most expensive generally out of the three of them. And one of the things I like about this more than anything is that it's the same great applications, Word, Excel, Exchange, PowerPoint, SharePoint, that a lot of organizations, including mine, we've been using this for years. And when we talk about institutional change, it's one of the most hard things to accomplish inside of a business. You know, getting just to move the meter, just to one iota can take so much time and effort. Well, you know, if we utilize 365, it's an easy sell. You don't have to learn a new tool. You don't have to learn a new application. Guess what? You can just do this with what you've got already. And it's just changing where this is coming from, where the license is originating, where the data is stored. You can use as much or as little as you want, but it's a very easy sell for a lot of companies because there's so much built-in knowledge and institutional knowingness and institutional capability built around the Microsoft application. So this is the easiest, least painful way of moving to the cloud that will not cause a lot of disruption for your organization. Also, as I mentioned, it's a licensing schema for Office. If you utilize 365, you also get your license for Office at the same time. And you can actually, on most 365 plans, install it onto five computers simultaneously. So you can have five physical laptops or desktops or any combination thereof, five tablets and five mobile devices. So it's really cool in that respect. Okay. You also get all the latest updates as soon as they become available. Microsoft traditionally has released major updates to the Office platform about every 3 years, 4 years, somewhere in that. The most recent being Office 2019. Well, they release a lot of incremental updates as well, which you will get as part of the 365 platform. So you get all of that. And when a new major release comes up, you don't have to pay for any extra services. It's just immediately available to you. So it's a great combination of cloud and desktop apps. In my opinion, you get the best of both worlds. And it's probably the overall best for really kind of all organizations, but really good for organizations that are already utilizing Microsoft products. You know, so if you're already pretty familiar with Microsoft stuff, in my opinion, this is a pretty easy sale to get. Now, there are three levels of plans that we should be familiar with. Okay. So, first, we've got our home and personal plans. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about these. I'm going to talk a little bit more about our business and then our enterprise. Okay. Now, with the home and personal stuff, it's exactly what it sounds like. It's the home. It's intended for, you know, kids. It's intended for students. It's intended for the occasional Office user. It's not really intended to be for a heavy Office user. And as such, you get kind of very limited functionality with it. And it's primarily focused on the existing desktop applications with very little productivity, communication, and cloud stuff that goes along with it. But if you're the occasional user, well, this is a reasonable price for you. Now, there's only one plan in all of Microsoft 365 where you actually buy the software as a one-time fee, and it's that home, Office Home and Student Edition. And for $149, you get the Classic Edition of 365. You get your Outlook, Word, Excel, and PowerPoint, but really none of the other cloud applications. On the personal level, there are two different plans, and it's intended for, well, do I need this as an individual? Well, I can get it as an individual for about $70 per year, or if I want to get it for my whole family, I can get it for about $100 per year. Okay. And you get the nicer versions of the different applications. You also get this really cool new function, which we'll talk about in a future podcast, called Money in Excel, which is a great way to keep an eye on your bank accounts using bank feeds. And it's very similar functionality like QuickBooks Online, where it'll automatically pull those balances from your and transactions from your bank accounts. And also with the plans, you also get storage in OneDrive, the family plan up to 6 terabytes per user. And if you just get the personal one, well, guess what? It's the same amount, but instead of getting 6 accounts, you get just one. So those are the home and personal plans. Again, it's really kind of focused just on providing base functionality and base applications to homes and for students. So it's a great option if you're the occasional user. But if you are a spreadsheet jockey like myself, live and breathe in the Office applications, you're definitely going to want to consider the business and enterprise plans. Now, the business plans are great for your average business, you know, and they've got a lot of different options to choose from. And one of the things I really respect about 365 is the fact that they just don't slam every type of user into one account. One of the things I really like about this is that we can mix and match the different account types, and I can get the type of account for the user that is going to be using it. So I don't have to, for example, force all of my users into the premium account if they're not going to utilize those premium features. I can mix and match getting the premium features for the users who really will utilize it, and I can get the basic features for my basic users, you know. So these accounts range in functionality and price, and you can really find the plan that's going to make sense for your employees in whatever level they might be. Now, the most standard of these plans is going to be the basic plan at $5 per month. Okay, well, that $5 per month only gives you the cloud applications. So it doesn't give you licensing for Office, Outlook, PowerPoint, Word, or Excel, but it does give you access to OneDrive, SharePoint, Exchange, and things that that person might need. This is a great option for field staff, you know, that are maybe visiting with clients, need to pull up documents in SharePoint, send an email, but you know what? They're not putting together presentations. They're not putting together workbooks. They can just do this for $5 a month. They get plugged into the communication side of this. Now, the other side of this is the apps version for 8.25. Well, the apps version is just like the basic version, but instead of only having access to the cloud stuff, it has all the access just to the desktop stuff. So, you know, if you have a user that doesn't need access to a lot of SharePoint or doesn't need email, or maybe you've just got a computer, for example, like the conference room computer, you know, and you need to put PowerPoint and Excel and things like that on it, but you don't need to give it an email address. Well, you can just get the desktop applications for $8.25, and it won't include the cloud apps that go with it. Most users, though, I'm going to say end up either in the $12.50 or $20 range. And with that, you get all of the desktop applications and all of the cloud applications, including SharePoint, and Excel, Online, you know, OneDrive, and more. Okay. And the big difference between the $12.50 and the $20 is the $20 comes with advanced threat protection and device management. And it's probably a little bit more appropriate for organizations that, you know, security is a big mindset. You want to be able to centrally manage that. Now, we also have the enterprise plans, okay? And the enterprise plans, I think, are a little bit harder for most folks to understand because there's a big price jump between the, you know, for example, the premium small business and the enterprise E3, and then certainly the E5, and where does the value come along with it? Well, the enterprise plans are designed for exactly what you think. I mean, it's intended for bigger business. And I'm going to talk about some of the differences between the business enterprise plans here in a minute, but enterprise plans, more functionality, more control, more configuration, and generally these are going to be more appropriate for larger organizations. Now we have the F3. Now the F3, I'm not 100% sure what the F stands for, but I'm going to assume it stands for frontline workers because that's really kind of what it's intended for. Factory workers, warehouse staff, maintenance personnel, these are folks that are not using the Office applications, but still need to be plugged into the cloud application. So it's kind of like that business basic edition. So it doesn't come with any of the desktop apps, but it does come with limited access to the cloud apps. So OneDrive, SharePoint, things like this. And it also offers basic device management. So if you want to manage your employees' devices, their cell phones, computers, things of this nature, you can do all of that right inside of that F3 plan. Now, most users, though, are going to end up, if they're in the enterprise section, either in the E3 or the E5. And the E3 comes in at $32 a month and the E3 at $57. They both include all the traditional desktop and cloud apps. Okay. But the E3 is going to be more basic on the configuration, the security, the compliance, stuff like that. And that E5 is going to come with a lot more capabilities. Some of the bigger things that the E5 plan is going to come with is, for example, Power BI Pro. You know, so if you're using Power BI, which I hope you are, and you should check out our CP Today podcast that we're doing on Power BI. We've already done one. We're going to be doing several of these. I'm going to teach you everything I know to become a Power BI wizard. But with that Power BI Pro, that gives you the ability to create your own dashboards and then share them with your colleagues and staff very easily. It also comes with voice calling. So if you're using Microsoft Teams, you can actually use your computer as a full-blown desktop phone, calling and receiving calls to clients, colleagues, anybody and any for any reason. You can use it as a full-blown phone system. Now, you might be tempted I might be tempted to choose the business or the enterprise. You might not know which one is the one for you. Well, good news. There are some really good guidance with respect to why you might want to choose the business or the enterprise plan. Okay. Now, the biggest reason why somebody would choose the enterprise plan over the business plan, why would somebody willingly go up in price? Well, ultimately, it's really going to come down for most users into the number of users in their company. You know, the small business plans are really capped at 300 users, you know, of whatever combination. So basic, premium, whatever, you can have up to 300 people. Once you get to that 301, though, well, that's when those enterprise click in, and that is going to allow you to get to an unlimited number of users. So a company like Ford or GM or whomever, they can't use the small business plans. They've obviously got thousands of users. Microsoft knows that. And so that's a big reason why those enterprise plans kick in. Okay. So if you need more than 300 users, you're going to have to go up that enterprise no matter what. Now, the enterprise plans do have differences in functionality as well. For example, the business users get a 50-gigabyte Outlook inbox versus the enterprise users, which double at 100 gigabytes. The E3 and E5 plans come with advanced versions of functionality for the programs. For example, the Pro Plus version of Excel, which we'll be talking about in our Excel series in a couple of weeks. Some of the major things that you can do with the Pro Plus would be like the Inquire toolbar and advanced developer capabilities, and just some really kind of cool functionality that come with the advanced version of Excel, as well as like the Power BI Pro and other advanced tools. The enterprise plans also come with compliance and threat mitigation, okay? And even in there, the E3 versus the E5, there's some variation with this. But what the compliance stuff does is if your organization's subject to, for example, let's say FINRA, okay? So for our CFP, Certified Financial Planners, our stockbrokers, you're well familiar with FINRA and the regulations that go with document retention and discovery purposes for any number of reasons that information could be pulled. Well, that those enterprise level plans already have a lot of that compliance stuff built right into it. Okay. And they also come with threat mitigation and device management. So allowing the IT company and the IT staff of your organization to be able to manage those devices directly. So if that's what you need, that E3 plan is going to be great because it's going to have a lot of that functionality for compliance, threat, security baked right into it. Another big reason for the enterprise plans is also you get CAL rights. Okay. CAL stands for Client Access License. And this is traditionally how Microsoft has managed access to their applications, is by not only selling you the application, but then a license per user. Well, if you have 365, that enterprise level, you can get CAL rights to run a local version of Exchange, a local version of SharePoint, Windows, and other applications inside of the platform. So if you still want to be able to manage these directly and put them on premise, which frankly, I don't know why you would, but that is one of the reasons why you might want to consider utilizing the enterprise version. All right, let's go ahead and have our first review question for the day. Okay, first review question. If my organization had 250 employees, which version of 365 could be utilized? Would it be the 365 family? Well, nope, that is not going to be something that you can choose to use. Could you utilize the E3? Yes, you could. You could totally use E3 if you wanted to. Could you use E5? Yes, you could do that as well. And could you use the 365 Business Standard? Guess what? You can use all three of those versions because remember, a lot of the functionality is going to be the same between these different plans, but it's going to be really kind of restricted to the user count. So if you're 250 people, you can use whatever combination you'd like. And in fact, you can mix and match between the E3, the E5, and the business plans all inside of the same account, which I think is super cool. Okay. So for the purposes of our presentation today, I'm not going to go into the existing traditional desktop apps. They're all great. We love Excel, Word, Access, PowerPoint, OneNote, Outlook, Publisher, and others. But instead, what I really want to draw your attention to are some of these cloud-based applications. You know, we're going to, over the course of a long time, I'm sure, go into every single one of these applications and where and how they would be utilized. But for today's purposes, let's just talk about some of these cloud apps and where and how they could be useful inside of your company. Okay. Now, 365 comes with a ton of different cloud applications. And depending on your level of licensing for the organization, whether it's a small business or it's the enterprise plans, you might have access to some or all of these applications. The E3 and E5, for the most part, come with all of these different apps. And the small business, those versions come with most of these, but not everything. Some of them are more intended to be used at the enterprise level. And there's just not, you know, a small business can't really honestly harness some of the ability that you can do with this. Okay. Now the core applications as I see it are going to be OneDrive, SharePoint, Teams, Exchange, Planner, and To-Do. These are the applications I want to give you a good understanding of what they do because they're really powerful in the 365 environment. And then knowing what they do can be really helpful in you determining what level of plan that you need. Now, in future podcasts, we're going to go through all of these, and I'm going to tell you everything you need to know about Power Apps and Power BI and Stream and Delve, Yammer, and others. We'll also go through and take a detailed look, for example, at the online version of these apps, Excel, PowerPoint, Word, and others. They have a great web-based counterpart that would be very useful for you to know and be able to utilize inside your company. Now, there's also these kind of like hanger-on applications. They're not technically part of 365, but they are great, add-ons and great complements to that 365 platform. Dynamics is the first one that comes to mind. It's not part of the normal 365 platform, but it is so tightly and beautifully integrated into 365. It kind of feels like the same application in a lot of respects. We'll talk about 365, Dynamics 365 in a separate series, but it's an operating system for your business, and it can do everything from accounts receivable and general ledger and inventory and everything in between, and it's a great complement to that 365. So let's go ahead and talk about some of these cloud apps, and let's go ahead and start first with SharePoint, okay? Now, SharePoint is a Microsoft application that's been around a very, very long time, and it's been used pretty consistently, I would say, since the 90s. And what I will say as a longtime Microsoft user is SharePoint has always kind of been a thorn, at least in my side, and talking with a lot of colleagues, they would agree. It's not that the functionality isn't great. It is. It's just always been a headache and pain to manage. It's always had security issues. It's always had scalability issues. It's always had update issues that have made it a complex thing for a lot of companies. Okay. Well, with 365, Microsoft has taken this application and they've said, you know what? We're going to host it. We're going to take this on. You can just use SharePoint. And honestly, like mana from above, it has been great because I love this application and now I can use it without having any of the overhead and oversight and compliance and headaches that come with managing SharePoint. And to be fair, Exchange is very similar to that. Exchange and SharePoint are very complementary to each other. And we'll talk about Exchange here in a minute, but both are great applications, but they require a lot to run them effectively and securely and safely. Okay, so the 365 version of SharePoint, it's a modern platform for shared access, interaction, collaboration that you can kind of do anywhere. It can, for example, allow you to share documents, files. You can create portals to be able to manage specific client engagements. You can create a portal for static content, like let's say, for example, HR or payroll, you know, where people can see the compliance documents that you're required to post, like the employee handbook or something like that. Well, you can communicate that very effectively on SharePoint. It provides document libraries, calendars, tasks lists, publications, announcements, and really kind of anything in between. It's intended to be an intranet for your organization. So this answers the question of where the heck are my company files? Well, they're in SharePoint. How do I communicate? How do I share status? How do I update a project? Where do I do that? We do that in SharePoint. It's like internal communication inside your company. It's never really supposed to be external. Every user of your SharePoint should be a staff, a colleague, a vendor, somebody who has a vested interest, but it would not be for the general public, nor would it be for customers. I would say it's really just intended to be inside. It's super customizable. You can use it to fit the needs of really kind of any organization. It's a blank slate in a lot of respects. And how you build it out will have a big impact on how well it is utilized inside your organization. If you just put it out there and just say, here's SharePoint, nobody's going to use it. But you take the time to build out sites. You take the time out to put up calendars. You take the time to put your documents in there. You integrate it with Teams. That's a no-brainer. It's going to work well for you. And SharePoint is generally administrated on the company level. So if you, individual staff would not be responsible for building out SharePoint sites, although they certainly can. Organizations, what my recommendation would be is they'd have a methodology, a thought process, a way of thinking about this, and they do it at a company level. And so that it's essentially very well organized. If you leave it up to the end users, you get what you get, you know, and I wouldn't recommend that. Now, with respect to storage, you get a terabyte plus 10 gigabytes per license that you have for 365. So your site can be a terabyte in size. And then for every additional user you get an additional 10 gigabytes per user. Now, one of my favorite things about this is that document libraries can be synced to local devices and they're also accessible. Now, this is a small thing, but let me tell you why this is amazing. You know, when cloud document storage first came out, what you ended up with was Steve would get a OneDrive or a Google Drive, or he would get a Dropbox, and then he would share it to his partners, his colleagues, his staff, things of this nature. Well, it was still on Steve's account. Well, what happens if Steve left the company, you know, or Steve deleted his account? Those files may go with that person, which is not a great way of handling it. SharePoint is company, it is team, it is staff level storage. So we don't end up with putting files in somebody's personal account or an individual account, they're in a company account and then they're easily shared with other people as needed. So this answers the question of where are my company files? Well, they're on the company SharePoint where we can apply policy and security around it. Now, within SharePoint, there are two different types of sites that you can do, okay? You have a team site, and then you have a communication site, okay? Now, a communication site is pretty simple. Think of it as kind of being a one-to-many. You know, think of it as like HR, payroll, accounting team, executive team, so on and so forth. They'd have like their static pages and then communicating that information to members of the company. And so a communication site's great for keeping people informed on topics, events, or projects. And it's generally intended for one-way communication to a lot of people, one-to-many approach. So whether you're trying to communicate product information, policies, procedures, I put this information up there. I'm curating that data and that information is available to my company as needed. Now, increasingly, especially in the COVID world, we need collaboration. We need communication. We need to be able to share documents and data and have multiple people updating. Okay, so think of it as a many-to-many situation here. Well, with a team site, we could share documents, conversations, we can keep track of events, we can manage events, and it's great for that two-way communication among team members, and it's great for collaboration on a specific client, project, proposal, or assignment. And it's intended to have multiple people being able to communicate on a single thing. So it's kind of like a conference room in a way, where multiple people can be in there, multiple people can be working and communicating with it. And SharePoint's great for that. You know, in terms of you can put up a document and have multiple people working on that document. We could put up a list, which is like a SharePoint-based Excel file. Multiple people can be editing. It's a really cool tool. And I'd highly recommend that you consider some sort of methodology for setting up your teams. So you might want to do it by project, by client. There's different ways that you can set it up. And if you pair it, I know it's a little confusing, but you have a team site in SharePoint, and then you have the application Microsoft Teams, but you can join those two together. Oh, it is fantastic. It is something that everybody enjoys. Okay, so very cool. Now, SharePoint company level stuff. What about my files? What about the stuff that I am working with? Well, that would be in Microsoft OneDrive. In Microsoft OneDrive, this answers the question of where the heck do I keep my personal files? And I'm talking in the context of company. You know, if it's your personal files, like Steve Yass, the individual, well, I would tell you, you should have your own OneDrive. You should have your own Google account. You should never store your personal stuff in your company directories, unless you're the owner of the business, obviously. But even then, that's really not a best practice. Well, with OneDrive, this would be the employees level storage. And for the most part, I would recommend that you use OneDrive for everything, especially if you are a Windows user. It is the best of the file sharing applications inside of Windows. It's better than Dropbox. It's better than Google Drive. It's better than all of them for a lot of different reasons. But the biggest reason that I would say that OneDrive is the best for Windows users is the fact that it is so tightly integrated in with Microsoft Windows that it is available in pretty much every aspect of the organization, every aspect of the operating system. as such, it just works. It works great. So, I mean, if you just want something that works with a lot of, without a lot of headache, OneDrive is definitely for you. I've always liked Google Drive. I've always liked Dropbox, but when push comes to shove, OneDrive, in my opinion, is by far the best. Now, the cloud version, the cloud business version of OneDrive has a couple of differences compared to its personal counterpart around security, document retention, compliance standards, and things like this. But no matter what, OneDrive provides encrypted file storage without the complexity of SharePoint. So it's a great way for your personal company files. So your spreadsheets, your Word documents, your presentations, those would go in your OneDrive. So it's administrated at the personal level. It gives you an impressive 1 terabyte of file storage per user. Google Workspace does give you more storage. So if storage is something of particular interest, be conscious of that. But 365 is no slouch. 1 terabyte is still more than enough for many version most people. And it does also support file versioning too, which is pretty nifty. So if I create a spreadsheet and then I update that spreadsheet, well, guess what? I get the first version and the second version all right there. If we, again, are subject to things like compliance standards like FINRA or SOX or other other types of compliance, well, we can also put in those administrative controls at the employee level with great tools for auditing and reporting to understand what our employees are doing. Like SharePoint, they can also be synced to local devices and are also accessible on whatever computer that you're signed in from. So it's a really great, easy, effective, and fast method for file storage. All right, folks, it is time for our next review question. All righty. So which of the following statements is false? Okay. OneDrive should be best thought of as personal or individual storage. Yeah, that sounds pretty good. I would agree with that. You know, OneDrive is what I would use to put my personal files. SharePoint should best be thought of as team and organizational level storage. So department, company, project, multiple people. I don't want those in individual accounts. Yes, I would say SharePoint should be that organizational level. OneDrive and SharePoint both provide easy, simple, and secure sharing methods. Absolutely. They both do that. And so in effect, all of the above statements are true. All of them can be used in a number of different ways. So whether you are doing OneDrive or SharePoint, you can kind of handle them all right there and together. So it is a great option. And what's great about this is that you do get the flexibility of being able to utilize these different tools whenever you need. Okay. So just kind of comparing these three tools together, we've got OneDrive, we've got SharePoint, we've got Teams. Okay. OneDrive, personal level document storage, SharePoint, project, department level document storage. And we also have Teams too. We'll talk about that here in a minute. Teams and SharePoint, they are beautifully integrated in with each other. So you can kind of think of them as working together in collaboration. And in fact, they do. Okay. With Teams, we can also store our data too. And that is also really kind of intended to be at that organizational department project level. OneDrive has a little bit less administrative and oversight because it's intended for the user. SharePoint, Teams, more administrative oversight to the user. And no matter what you choose to use, you can share and sync everything to your local PC, which I think is super cool. All right, so let's talk about our next feature for 365, and that is going to be Exchange. In my opinion, the gold standard for business-grade email. It's just secure, it's fast, it's reliable, and again, just like SharePoint's been around a long time, it was always kind of a headache to manage, though, from an IT level because of the updates, the security. It's a lot to take on, and email is so business-critical now. Having an email outage is as bad as having a power outage, and in some respects, it's worse because even with a power outage, you know what? You still got your phone. You could still open this up, but if Exchange is offline, you know, you're not going to have anything. Okay. So Exchange provides secure and encrypted email storage, mobile communications. It provides integration with SharePoint, share calendars, contacts, and tasks. And it's all done on your behalf directly inside of 365. So Microsoft is managing this automatically. Now, if you're using the desktop version of Outlook, great. You could still use that desktop version of Outlook. But it also comes with Outlook Online, Outlook.com, where users can get access to their company email, their company contacts, their company calendar, their company tasks directly through a web browser. And kudos to Microsoft. They've done a great job. It has a very similar look and feel and functionality level to Outlook on the desktop. They're almost identical now, which is, I think, just really fantastic because I've always felt that the Outlook web client struggles. So you can also install it on your iPhone or your Android. So if you want to get access to your email on the go, you can install that Outlook directly there. So just to be clear, Outlook is the application. Okay, Exchange is the server client. So Exchange is what you're going to manage at your company level. Now, the newest product to come out from 365, and in my opinion, again, it's the darling of the COVID world, could not have come at a better time, is Microsoft Teams. And just like what I said earlier with Exchange being the de facto gold standard for secure business communication from an email and shared calendar perspective, Teams, in my opinion, it's the gold standard. It's the linchpin for intelligent communication and collaboration inside of 365. It is a hub of teamwork, communication, video conferencing, collaboration, shared documents, even telephone functionality can all be built right inside of this application. It's awesome. Now, this is the successor product to Skype for Business. So those of you who are familiar and have utilized Skype for Business before, well, this is the successor product. And in fact, hopefully you're retiring your use of Skype for Business because they are planning on deprecating that product at the end of July of this year. So if you were using Skype for Business, you can easily move over to Teams. And I will tell you, it is better in every possible circumstance. There is not any aspect of Skype for Business that is better than Microsoft Teams. Teams is modern, it's fast, it's sleek, it's reliable. The communication, the collaboration, the latency, everything is better on Teams compared to Skype for Business. Now, Teams is intended to be your single unified platform for team members to communicate and collaborate. And if we think about being in this COVID world, none of us have spent much time in an office now, where a lot of us are working primarily from home. Okay. As such, we still need a way to be able to talk, communicate, and work with our colleagues. Well, Teams provides that. It provides that simple, easy way to be able to send a message, to call, to have a meeting with somebody in your company. And in one click, you can send them a message, or you could launch a video conference call or an audio conference call, and boom, you can talk with that person. It is wonderful for internal communications. You can use it externally, like with customers or the public. Generally, I wouldn't recommend it. You know, in our company, we use Teams internally. We still use Zoom, though, for communicating with clients and customers. It's just, in my opinion, a little bit cleaner of an experience for those people out of the company. But when it comes time to talk to a colleague or staff, I don't reach for my phone. If I do reach for my phone, it's to go into the Teams app. Most of the time, it is to open up the Teams application and communicate from there. So it's got all the things you need to communicate: conversations, files, tools, all in that one place. It is a chat-centric workspace compared to Groups, which has been around for a long time, which is part of Exchange, which is email-based. Okay, Groups are pretty passive. You send an email and it gets distributed to the people in the group. Teams is very, let's just say, engaging in the sense I can send a message directly to a person or to a team of people. It draws functionality from all over 365, including Exchange, SharePoint, OneDrive, really to kind of bring that facilitation of everything that you might need in one simple place. Now, we are going to dive deep into Teams in future versions of this course because there is so much functionality to unpack there and so much that you can directly use in that application. So we're going to have specific podcasts for Teams. And if podcast is something that you are, sorry, not podcast, but if Teams is something that you're particularly interested in, leave us a comment wherever you happen to be watching this and tell us about your favorite feature and function of Teams. Or if you have a particular issue or headache, I'd love nothing more than to discuss how I might approach and resolve that issue for you. So tell me if you like Teams, and if so, what you like, and if you're having any issues with it, Tell us what isn't working. Let's see if we can find a solution for you. So I would say Exchange, OneDrive, and Teams are probably the core of the cloud application experience. There are a couple other tools I do want to mention that I think are pretty useful as well. And one of those being Microsoft Planner. Okay. Planner is a great way of being able to organize work for a project, a client, a team, a company, whatever, you know, and it's a great way of being able to assign tasks, share files. You can communicate directly inside of it. You can also bring it into Teams as well. And, what's nice about Planner is that it is what we call a Kanban style of project management. The Kanban style of project management means that we have swim lanes for statuses or people, however we choose to arrange it. And projects are organized by cards. And a card can represent a task or a series of tasks, and they could be assigned to different people depending on what you're doing. And it's a very visual way of managing projects. So we can use Planner to effectively design projects inside of our company, and we can break a project into small definable tasks. We can assign those tasks to individual members and then track the completion of each of these assigned tasks. Now, the task board is kind of made up of work items, and we can move those work items or cards any way that we would like to visually understand the work that we are doing. And those cards can contain anything from a due date, an attachment, a category, a conversation. We can also build them out for whatever other purposes that we might like to use. And so I like this because I'm a very visual person in terms of understanding what and how I might like to work on something. So let's take a look at Planner just as an example here. And so this is a simple example of a Kanban style of project management. Okay. We have our swim lanes. In this case, we have to do, we have in progress, QA, QC, and finish. QA, QC stands for quality assurance, quality control. And let's say we were to do something around quarterly financials. We want to design a plan so that we can visually see, again, what's to be done, what's in progress, what's in QA and QC, so on and so forth. Well, we can create tasks. Typically, we'd start over here on the left, and then we would move these tasks from the left to the right. You know, so maybe, for example, as part of our quarterly financial, we need to confirm our AR for period. Okay, well, we can add that as a card. Let's say we also want to confirm our AP for the period. Okay, and we can see that that is a task to be done. Well, let's say, for example, I wanted to go inside of this. Well, I could assign this to a specific person. I can also give it a progress update or a priority update. I can add a checklist, an attachment. I could also assign it to a different person if I wanted to. And the intention is that we pick up these little cards and then we move them to whatever swim lane we'd like to see. You know, so if we're confirming our AR and AP, well, we'll move those over to in progress. You know, if we've already reviewed our balance sheet items, great. We'll just go ahead and move that over here to our QA and QC and so on and so forth. So it's a great way to be able to visually see where your projects are. And I love this because I'm very at a glance type observer in the sense like I want to keep a monitor up. I want to be able to see what I've got going, what the status is of my projects, both for my own purposes, for the work that I'm doing, as well as for my staff as well. And so you can set up any type of board you'd like. You can rearrange these columns any way you'd like. You can add new columns. You can also take this into other views. You know, so if you want to switch over and get some analytics on this, great. You can go ahead and do that as well. And you could even switch it over to a schedule view, and you could pick up and drag these different projects to different dates. So if you're trying to visually manage deliverables for a company, you can manage that very effectively and easily as well. Now, a very complementary project to Planner is Microsoft To Do. Okay, To Do is just like a simple way of being able to visually manage your personal task list. I've always been a big fan of, you know, just kind of keeping everything, you know, just on a simple pad of paper. You know, To Do is like that digital equivalent. So if you want to move out of just keeping something on a piece of paper, Microsoft To Do will work well for you. And they've got an application for Windows as well. So you can just run it directly on your desktop. And you can also integrate it directly with Outlook Online. And you can also integrate it with Planner. And so if your company is using Planner to organize tasks, well, when those tasks get assigned to you, they can go to your to-do And then from to do, then you can go ahead and work on that specific work. But it's a very simple application in terms of what we would use this for. So here's an example of to do. We can see we've got our different tasks that are set up here. So we can see we've got follow up on our customer request. We've got our quarterly financials for CP Today. That was part of our planner, so on and so forth. I even have to take our head of accounts retrievable, Winston, for a walk a little later today. Okay. Well, let's say I had a task up here for podcast for cloud productivity. Okay. Well, once we're done with this, I can go ahead and indicate that that task is done, and I'll see that completed pop up over here. And then let's go ahead and mark off our walk with our head of accounts retrievable as well. But it's a simple way of being able to manage your daily to-dos. And this data can come from all aspects of 365, from planner. So if your company, your colleagues, your supervisor are assigning you things, they can pop up in here. And you can also see it in Outlook too. In my opinion, it's just a really nice way of being able to visually manage your organization commitments and kind of what else you are doing. Now, this is just the tip of the iceberg with respect to these 365 applications. There are a ton of features and functions and different things that you can use these apps for. We've only talked about a couple of them, and even then we only went an inch deep. You know, in podcasts, so stay tuned. In our podcast, we're going to explore a lot of these applications and unpack all the different things that you might want to use and how to really kind of get the most out of your subscription with 365. And there's stuff for everything, whether you're doing analytics and dashboarding with Power BI, whether you're doing streaming video with Stream, creating approachable and easy browser-based presentations, similar to PowerPoint, but 100% in browser with Sway, or you're looking to kind of create and collect information with forms, you know, where I create, for example, a form to solicit when we're going to have our office Christmas party, something simple like that. Well, I can create a form and send it out to other people to have them fill out and get that information back. Or we're looking to whiteboard and have collaboration and, you know, kind of work in understanding maybe future products or projects that we're going to work on. Or even social networking. Yammer is a tool that you can use inside your company to learn about other staff. You know, if you think about a company like a Fortune 500 company where you got thousands of employees, staying up to date with what folks are working on or who they are, that can be difficult. Yammer is a kind of a really cool tool that you can do all of this internally. So lots more great information with respect to some of these cloud applications and what you can do with them. Now, I do want to take a second and talk about both the administration of this as well as the migration for this. 365 comes with a great administration tool. It's very flexible, very easy. And again, as somebody who's worked with all of these applications since the 90s, the cloud version of the management tools of this are so much easier than their server-based components. The 365 admin tool is a very approachable way of managing, licensing, adding new users, changing existing users, resetting passwords. It works just straight inside of a browser, and it is a very easy tool, even for somebody who is not an IT expert, to manage their 365 account. And so this would be where you would go to create a new user, reset a user's password, changing what licensing, buying new licensing, turning off and on certain applications of your 365 deployment, you would do directly inside of this. Does not require a lot of knowledge. And for what things you may not understand, Microsoft got excellent support articles that will help you understand what a little settings tick might do or not do if you enable it or disable it. They even have an iOS and Android app. So if you are on the go, you're an IT administrator, you're a company administrator, and Bob from HR calls and says he can't get into his 365 account, well, guess what? You can open up your phone, go to the Office 365 admin tool, and you can reset Bob's account right there. Like that. It's very fast and very easy. So you get this to manage your account. And it, in my opinion, it's really kind of a no-brainer in terms of how you would use this. It's a very easy tool and typically be done handled by your IT administration staff. But if you don't have an IT staff, with a little patience, you can learn to use this tool as well. Now, getting to 365 is pretty simple. Microsoft has created a number of different deployment and migration strategies, you know, where you can, for example, just cut over from an existing Microsoft Exchange implementation, let's say on-premise, or from another provider, you can just cut it over, or you can do it in more of a risk-averse staged way where you can test and move things over in batches as needed. But your main ways of migrating to 365, you can either migrate all the mailboxes as once. We would call that a cutover migration. Okay. You can migrate in batches or a staged migration. You can also use their syncing tool, which is kind of a hybrid approach. Really cool if you have, for example, on-premise technology, like an on-premise Windows server in your company or Active Directory managing inside your organization. Well, you can sync your on-premise with 365, and they'll keep those things in sync. So if you create a user in one, it will get replicated in the other. Now, users can also migrate on demand as well. They can migrate their own PST files, which is from Outlook. And really, when we're talking about migrating to 365, we're talking about mostly moving email communications up to the cloud. And so PST is the profile for Outlook. It's the corpus of the Outlook data. So you can move those on demand as needed as well. Now, if you're using another service, let's say Zoho or Workspace from Google, you can also migrate through IMAP, which is a protocol for downloading your mail to other mail clients. Well, Exchange can listen to that and it can download those messages through that IMAP enabled portal as well. And users can also migrate their own stuff. You know, there's a number of different tools that you can choose to utilize for migrating your own individual. And there's lots of different reasons why you might want to choose one or the other. Sometimes you can even do a combination of migration strategies. But if you've got a large number of users, you're definitely going to want to think about this before switching this on for your users. And certainly, no matter what method you pick, you're definitely going to want to train with your users to ensure that they are knowledgeable and capable, and they're set up for success in the company. All right, let's go ahead and have our final review question for today. Okay, which of the following functions is not provided by Teams? So which of the following functions is not provided by Teams? Okay, well, Teams provides secure instant messaging. Okay. Absolutely provides secure instant messaging. That's very commonly used inside the application. And a lot of people, that might be the only thing that they do. Teams does not provide online meeting capability. Definitely not. Teams definitely can be used for either audio meetings or video conference calls or even video conference calls and screen sharing, which is what I use more than anything else. Teams is a chat-based collaboration tool, so it does not provide direct mail functionality. That is true. Teams does not manage your inbox. So that is not provided by Teams. You will not use direct email functionality. You would use another tool such as Outlook to utilize this. Okay. Teams allows for application sharing in online meetings and video calls. It absolutely provides that functionality. So the correct answer here, what does Teams not do? Teams does not provide email functionality. That's not really kind of what it's intended to do. Well, that does bring us to the end of our podcast for today. So let's talk about what we learned. Well, we discussed the major aspects of the 365 platform, and we specifically took a look at the cloud-based applications that are independent or in collaboration and building upon maybe their desktop counterparts. But some of these tools like Planner and To-Do, they might have a desktop counterpart, they might not, but really 365 isn't solely about Excel, PowerPoint, and Word. It's this whole wealth of other cloud-based applications. We're going to continue looking at these cloud apps and really kind of teach you how to be excellent with SharePoint and excellent with Planner and other things that you might want to do. Well, in the episode 3 of our cloud-based productivity series, we are going to take a deep dive on Zoho and discussing all the interesting things that you might want to consider Zoho for. So if you don't want a Google approach for cloud productivity or a Microsoft approach, well, guess what? You've got a third excellent option with great functionality, which is Zoho. So in our next episode, we're going to teach you everything you need to know about what Zoho has to offer for your company. Now, if you are a financial professional, I do want to remind you this podcast, this exact podcast that you've been listening to here today, is eligible for CPE credit. I know. So you can earn a credit for listening to today's podcast. It's super simple. Head on over to cpetoday.com, use course code GMZ2, take a short 5-question quiz about what you heard and what you watched about today, and you will earn a credit. You can even print off a fancy certificate and frame it for your office for everything. Show off to your colleagues and staff all the cool things you learned about 365. Now, if you like today's podcast, I would encourage you to connect with us on social media. You're always welcome to find us on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and a whole bunch of other places. We'd love for you to leave a comment or a review if you like our content, or if you have any ideas for other podcasts or technology topics you'd like to see me cover. We tend to focus on covering tech, accounting, economics, things like this in a continuing education environment. So if you got some ideas, reach out, let us know what you're thinking and how we can help you. Additionally, you can also listen to our show anytime on the platform of your choosing. CP Today's podcast is available on Apple, Spotify, Google, and others. So wherever you happen to be listening to this, you can go ahead and subscribe, which I would love for you to do, and get on-demand episodes at the time and choice of your choosing. And always, if you can, leave us a review. Let us know what you think about our content and today's podcast. Well, thank you so much for your time and attention, folks. It has been an absolute pleasure. I wish you the best and stay tuned. Lots more great content to come in, and we'll see you here the next time around.